Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We're looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. We're talking about Pray America. We're leading up to the election. I think one of the greatest things that a Christian can do today is to simply go before the throne of God and ask God to give us victory and to have His sovereign will in this election. I believe that we're faced with perhaps the most pivotal, the most important, the most, definitive election in our lifetimes. We're faced today, ladies and gentlemen, with the opportunity to make a difference by being salt and light. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the scripture says that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. The connotation and truth in that text, if we do not pray for those that are being elected and those that are elected, we will not live a quiet and peaceable life. So I've simply said, ladies and gentlemen, part of that prayer is God remove Joe Biden. God remove Kamala Harris. God remove any on the state, local, or national level that's not submitting to your will and your authority in their leadership role. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God has given us government. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 outlines very succinctly and clearly that government is a servant slash slave to God. God gave us civil government. But civil government is to be obedient to God. If civil government does not submit to God, God's law, God's word, God's authority, then, ladies and gentlemen, civil government has failed to meet its responsibility. God gave us civil government for the purpose of prosecuting evil and protecting good. And we're finding today it's reverse of that. So we're going to be talking about today the need to pray, the need to vote, the need to stand up for the candidates that are standing up for that which is moral, ethical truth, and nothing less. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on a central biblicist worldview. That simply means that we look at the Word of God and analyze the Scripture based on all that we see happening in society. We look at it through the prism of what does God's Word say. In fact, in John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Then, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture very succinctly says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so I commend the truth book, the word of God, to each and every one of you, each and every day, as you tune in. May I remind us that it's our responsibility to be obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and it's based on truth. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. One of the latest surveys, ladies and gentlemen, says that the younger generation believes that truth is something that's malleable. Truth is something that is not absolute. Truth is something that each and every individual has their own nuance of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not what you find in the central biblicist worldview. Truth is the Word of God. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more and nothing less. In fact, I'm looking at the article. It says, most of the younger generation say there's no absolute truth. They believe that each person defines his or her own truth. It goes into the details of the percentages. 55% of the Americans, 18 to 29 years old, think that each person can determine their own version of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's harming, hurting, decimating, and destroying America's morals, ethics, and values today. We go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I commend that to you today. May I say to you, as we approach election day, we need to be obedient to what God says in casting our ballots. Ladies and gentlemen, it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and I'll simply truncate it short and give you a short paraphrase. We need to seek God's face. We need to confess our sins and ask Him to heal our land. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're under a repressive regime of the Biden cabal, and our nation is mourning. Scripture says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear its rule, the people mourn. I believe we're in a state of mourning today across America, locally, statewide, and nationwide. And we can make a difference in this election. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, the U.S. flag on a 165-foot flagpole, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, after our brief monologue, we're going to have a very special guest today that we're going to be talking with. She's running for District 13 in the Florida House of Representatives. But before we do that, I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. I was looking to see what time it was. Afternoon works, I guess. How you doing?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well, doing well. President Biden last night in his speech, his closing remark was he asked God to give some of our Republican friends some enlightenment. I thought that was kind of strange considering what he's done this whole month there, and it brought up Proverbs 28:9 and James 4:3 to my mind when he was doing that. Do you see any of that?
Yes. In fact, I find it fascinating that he would make such a statement. My statement as a result of that, it is my prayer that God will hear his prayer that will give illumination to the conservatives, to the Republicans, to the non-party affiliations that stand for truth, that we would have victory at the ballot box November the 8th.
You know, I would agree with that statement. Anyway, James 4:3 is you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly and spend it on your passions there. So this man offered up a prayer to God, and I do believe that he wanted it for his own benefit to continue on doing what this administration has been doing.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Perversion.
Joe, Joe Biden, if he didn't have the earpiece in his ear, and if he didn't have the teleprompter, he wouldn't be able to even say that. So it's not his words. It's words of the senior abuse handlers, his handlers and his puppeteers. And so, therefore, we need to look at it and see it for what it is and recognize that, by the way, I'll say this and let you go, but now even the Democrats, as a group of Democrats, and I've got the article, that talking about introducing the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden and Kamala Harris from positions of leadership. And so you wait until after the shellacking of this election. And I've said now
well,
for over a year.
Pelosi in charge if they do that. And I thought the 25th was for capacity to perform duty while in office.
Yes.
I mean, Kamala Harris
yes, but they will have to do some manipulation. You recall, I've said on this broadcast for over a year that either just before the election or just after the election, Joe Biden will be removed from office. In my most humble opinion, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, as Amos says in Amos 7:14. I see them removing Joe Biden. They're going to put Kamala Harris in some cushy position that she cannot refuse. They'll put Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama in as VP. They will then remove Joe Biden based on the 25th Amendment, based on his cognitive inability, and then that person that's been appointed as VP, which I believe probably will be Hillary Clinton, will move up into the position of president so that then Hillary Clinton can be the acting president and be in a position of the incumbent running for the 2024 election for president of the United States of America. I believe that's the handwriting on the wall, and I could be totally wrong, but there will be a nuance of what I'm saying that I believe will be fulfilled and will take place in the very near future. So we do need to pray for our land. We need to pray for the nation and recognize that we're in a precarious, dangerous position in these last days before this election, because I believe all abandonment of anything that's called truth, anything that's called morals and ethics and values will be taking place, as it has been for about a year now, in the preparation to fraudulently steal this election. I have no real confidence in the battleground states of being a clear-cut election. I don't believe on November the 9th we'll hear the results in most of these key election, key individual elections in these battleground states, because they're going to battle over, quote, counting and recounting the votes. And I didn't realize until recently, in 1997, the Supreme Court ruled that at midnight of election day, all ballots that are counted by midnight, anything after counted after midnight, are not to be counted at all. And that's the law based on the ruling of the Supreme Court in 1997. And so we're finding year after year after year, election after election, that that is being countered, and what is being done is contrary to what would be considered the norm and the law today. Jim, thank you so much. We need to keep praying,
thank you, sir.
Asking God to
God
give us
you,
victory
sir.
In this election. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, this election will give us the opportunity to elect candidates that are trustworthy, honorable, candidates that will represent we the people and not their own socialist, Marxist political agenda. We need candidates that will stand for the rule of law and will honor God in their decision-making and what is said and what is done by way of the election process. I'm looking at an article that is the Brief Prayer of Concerned Women for America. Let me share this briefly, then we'll introduce our guest for today. This comes from the Chief Financial Officer with Concerned Women for America. It's prayer for the 2022 election. And she says, and I quote, Lord, we ask you to perfect your will and that it be done in the 2022 election. In each race taking place, establish righteous leaders in every state across our nation. We ask you to remove those in leadership who have set their hearts and minds against you and the truth of your word. Lord, we ask you to remind your people of the importance of voting their values in this election and in future elections. Lord, let there be a tremendous turnout of believers voting in this election. Lord, may Christians understand the urgency of the hour and that all is at stake in our country today. Lord, if there be any plots, plans to alter the results of the election in any state, we ask you, Lord, to uncover it. That which is hidden in darkness, to shine light upon it, that your truth in all areas, that corruption and that will bring exposure to the lies and corruption and deceit. We pray and believe that each election taking place will have truthful and accurate counts and results. We thank you, Lord, in advance, for the future of our nation is in your hands, and we trust you for a great turnout and turnaround in 2022 election. End quote. End of the prayer coming from Concerned Women of America. And ladies and gentlemen, Samuel Adams said, let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and to his country, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today La Sierra Maslin. La Sierra is the, I believe, the candidate that shall be our next representative for District 13 in the Florida House of Representatives. She is has been running a race that I believe is honorable before the Lord, and I'm thankful that she is with us today. La Sierra, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today, and I'd like to introduce you on the basis that it's our next representative for District 13 for the Florida House. So thank you for taking time out of your election schedule and joining us on this broadcast today, the last of our broadcast focusing on your election before the election day. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Youngblood, for having me yet again. I really, really count it as an honor and a privilege, and you just have been a great support, so I appreciate it.
We're thankful to stand with those that stand for truth and stand for God and stand for our Bill of Rights, stand for our founding fathers and what they've given us in our constitutional republic. La Sierra, some perhaps are tuned in today that's not been tuned in before in our listening audience. Let me ask you to take a moment, introduce yourself, tell our listeners something about yourself, and briefly, why you're running.
Absolutely. So again, La Sierra Maslin, I am your candidate, your conservative candidate running as no party affiliation in the District of 13, which is northwest of Jacksonville. I am a mother, wife. I am a entrepreneur. I work for myself. And I'm, more importantly, I am a woman of God. I love the Lord. I've been saved for more than 26 years. And so I know his character, and I have a genuine relationship with him. And I am running for office mainly and simply because it is my God-given right. It is my authority, and it is a part of who I am as a kingdom citizen. And so I just implore you to, you know, just to listen in today. And as I share in on what the Lord has done during this process, it has been phenomenal. He has shown himself to be faithful and true countless times, just doing miraculous things during this election. And so I just ask that you vote on November 8th for those things that are holy and that are righteous, and watch God be glorified.
Amen. Kate said, I couldn't have said that any more succinctly, La Sierra. I'm thankful for your summarizing it. In fact, back a number of years ago, we had the privilege of walking the halls of the House and the Senate in Tallahassee and getting some Christian higher educational bills passed. And never will forget, got on the elevator with one representative, and he was chasing from office to office with meeting to meeting. And so we had that talk conversation while on the run, and he said, give me your elevator speech. It's the first time I'd heard that. I said, elevator speech? He said, yeah, between the two floors, tell me what you got on your mind. And so you have given us an elevator speech as to why you're running and what you're wanting to do, and I'm thankful for you being with us today. Let me ask you a question. It might sound superfluous in the view of what you've just said, but do you believe that faith, an individual's faith, should have anything to do with the elected position and the decisions that they make? Or should, as some have advocated, that a person's faith ought not to be intertwined with their votes, with their decision, with the bills they pass, and the laws that they take a stand for or against? What is your position on that? As a woman of faith, how do you view faith being carried out with your responsibility after you're sworn into office?
Well, I think it has a tremendous contribution to being in office. I believe one of the primary things we should be asking a candidate is not always about their education or what school did they go to, how long they've been in Jacksonville and all of that, but it should be more about their relationship with the Lord. And I understand maybe not coming from an unbeliever, but us as believers, that should be the primary question, because the Lord says he gives insight to his people. And so that means that they have revelation knowledge, that which you can't receive in a college classroom, you know, that which you can't receive, you know, just working and having experience. And surely you can't receive just because you was born one day in the particular city that you're currently running in. And so, you know, that is paramount to have faith in God, not just to have faith, but know the one that you have faith in, know how he moves, know what his character is, and simply just know his principles and his laws. So it is paramount to have faith in the Lord when going into any role that is governing our country that the Lord has given us and that he has called us to dominate. So, yes, I completely and wholeheartedly believe that faith is definitely a substance that we need to have as a recipe for success while running for office or in office.
You're exactly right, and that then makes a transition to a natural follow-up to that. Then if we have within the, as I call it, the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party called the Democrats, if they're pushing transgenderism, if they're pushing the butcher of human beings, preteens and teenagers, the mutilation of children's bodies, if they're pushing murder by way of abortion, killing the infant human being in the mother's womb, then we would have to then naturally take the position that there is something wrong with their, quote, faith in God mm-hmm. and their relationship mm-hmm. to God. Am I right or wrong, or what is your view on that?
You're completely dead on. You're right. Obviously, their convictions is not with the Word of God. I mean, that's very clear. It's very obvious, you know, that their convictions are with what you were talking about earlier, their truth. And I literally hate that whole slogan, that little statement. And I see it quite often where people are using that little statement of my truth and all that just to kind of just give themselves an opportunity to basically say, well, listen, I have my truth and that's why it works, instead of, you know, going based on the Word of God. And so when you're supporting transgenderism and transitioning children and sexualizing our kids and just teaching them, you know, just about just being in touch with their sexual side, if you will, then obviously you're not a believer. It's just that simple. You don't have a belief in the Lord. You're not in relationship with him. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then acknowledging him in all of your ways. So that's, you know, that's something that is, you're just of the devil. You're of your father, the devil, because that's what he is involved in. That's what he participates in and calls his people to do.
Absolutely. LaSierra, hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I don't mean to be a skeptical, sister, but nowadays everybody calls themselves a Christian. Every mm-hmm. time I identify myself, I'm a newborn evangelical, because we got mm-hmm. that loony so-called pastor in Georgia, Warnock. He support mm-hmm. abortion. He's a pastor. I wonder yeah. who ordained him. I know God didn't ordain him. He support abortion all the way up to 9 months. He support all those homonazics, the LGB, whatever, Q, alphabetical. He support all of that. He support transgender. My question to you is, as newborn believers that we are, how do you feel about somebody calling himself a pastor and supporting all that nonsense? Because a genuine newborn person goes and obey what the Bible says, the same thing that you quoted. How do you feel about that, sister? That's my question. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Sure, I'll let you respond to it, and then I'll take a shot at it.
Okay, absolutely. Well, the Bible simply already tells us that these things are going to happen, Jose. So he says to be aware of false prophets. They're going to rise up in my name. They're going to even try to preach in my name. So when you mention people like Warnock, that's exactly what comes to mind. That's why it's so important as a believer, you need to know what the Word of God says. You know, so when things are like what you just mentioned, Jose, is coming up, you know, to already know that that's basically wolves in sheep clothing. So you know not to listen. The Bible also talks about how, you know, my people, they know my voice. So you know that when you have a relationship with the Lord, you are sensitive to his voice. You know what he's indeed saying. So, yes, I follow you when everybody's calling themselves a Christian. That's why my transition is always about the kingdom. I'm a kingdom citizen, and that's what you notice me say, because, yes, everybody has kind of just gotten to a point where they, you know, the Christian title is basically lukewarm, and it doesn't really hold the value that it once did. So I follow you there. But you have to understand that the Word of God is going to fulfill itself, and he already warned us about people that will rise up in his name, but we needed to be obviously very careful and basically rebuke them and don't follow them.
Lassiera, you're exactly right. And I'm reminded as you are speaking of Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with about verse 20. And it says, in that day, and it's talking about the day of judgment, many, mm-hmm. it's the Greek word megas, we get our word mega from that, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works in your name, cast out demons in your name, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Jesus goes on to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Jesus says to those that are pleading their case based on, quote, good works and, if you please, malleable statements from pulpits or the pew, Jesus is saying, I never had a personal experiential relationship with you. Jesus says in that text, you're lost. You're lost. And so, Jose, exactly right. We've got a lot of people today standing in the pulpit, standing in places of leadership that claim to have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, but are lost. And as you said so succinctly, there are a lot of false prophets today and false preachers today that are claiming that relationship and yet not having it. This is the reason I've said, Lassiera, and for the benefit of our listeners, I believe that it's an impossibility. I believe that it's an oxymoron for a person to say, I'm a Democrat and I'm a Christian. The two just simply do not gel. It's an impossibility to say, I'm a Christian, quote, slash Democrat. I believe that transgenderism is good. I believe that multiple marriages would be all right. I believe that homosexuality, sodomite lifestyle, is okay. I believe that teaching the CRT and the LGBTQ in the classroom is all right, and yet I'm a Christian. I believe that murder, but we have abortion, is okay, and yet I'm a Christian. That is impossibility. That's an impossibility. It is contrary to the Word of God. That is the reason I find it refreshing, and I say this openly to our listeners, it's the reason I find it refreshing your stand on biblical beliefs and not fearful or not intimidated to say to the listening world that if I take my seat and sworn in as representative for District 13 in the state of Florida, that I not only swearing an oath before God, but before the people, but I'm swearing before God that I'm going to represent him and him first. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. Lassiera, I'm looking at an article that says, David Barton on God, comma, abortion and why Christians must vote. David Barton, the founder, the president of Wall Builders, and author of the book, The Founder's Bible, Barton told a pro-life audience that abortion isn't a new issue and said that he doesn't know why people think abortion was not an issue 200 years ago. Quote, the founding fathers wrote and talked about abortion. James Wilson said that the human life is protected by common law. John Witherspoon explained that in America, people know that God creates life, not parents. Therefore, you can't take life that does not belong to you. He continued in the elongated statement, if you're wrong on the life issues, you're not going to protect the Second Amendment. You're not going to protect the Fifth Amendment. You're not going to protect marriage and property rights. If Congress won't protect life, he said, they won't protect your money, end quote. And I think that's correct. Lassiera, hold on for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.